And Father, I pray that every person in this room and every person who's watching right now would simply humble themselves and pray right now in this moment and just say, God, I humble myself before you and I ask that you would send your Holy Spirit into my heart and life right now in this moment. That we would not be satisfied with just attending a service. That we wouldn't be satisfied with just showing up at church. But God, that we've come to truly worship you and to humble ourselves and submit ourselves before a God who absolutely deserves it. So this morning, we ask that your Holy Spirit would not only be present in this place, but that you would invade the very depths of our hearts. That you would work and move in amazing and powerful ways because we need you to. There's nothing that you've called us to do that we can do on our own in our own strength. And so God, we ask that you would work and move today. That you would be present, that you would be powerful, and that, God, we would be willing to step aside and let you do what you do best. Lord, as always, we lift up our brothers and sisters to you who aren't able to be here today. We pray for Mr. Quay as he's in the hospital right now. And we thank you so much for watching over him during his procedure this past week. And God, we just pray that you continue to touch him and his family as they recover. And they still have a long road ahead with some other things that needs to be done. God, we pray for Helen and Pat and Dan and Rita, Ralph and Kathy, Ted and Inga. Lord, we lift our brothers and sisters up to you this morning. Ask that you'd be with them. And Lord, we just need you during this time. If you're not here, if you're not in this, if you're not in our hearts right now, then this is all just a waste of time. So God, we invite you here today. We invite you in our hearts. And we just want to say we love you. And we pray and we ask all this in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Well, it is great to see you this morning. Last week, we started a new series on what to do with sin. And if you missed that, I encourage you to go back and just watch the video online. It's a really good topic of conversation because as people, we are a sinful people. God knows this. This is why Jesus Christ came and bled and died on the cross for our sins, because he knows that we are a sinful people. It's not that it gives us permission to continue on living in sin, as there's a lot of scripture that warns against that lifestyle, but that there has been a way for sin to be atoned for even after we're saved, after we ask Christ to come into our hearts and lives, that if we sin, there's a way to be forgiven of that sin, to move past that sin, and for us to continue to grow in our relationship with Christ. Now, last week, if you asked for forgiveness of sin, if there was something in your life that you felt like needed to be dealt with, that's amazing. And we should celebrate that. That's not something that we should be necessarily ashamed of. Obviously, we're ashamed of the sin, but we're not ashamed of the forgiveness and the grace and mercy and love of God. We actually need to testify about those things. We don't glorify our sin, but we glorify the God who forgives our sin. And that's very important. So today we're talking about what do you do when sin, when the sin is against you? Because here's the thing, if Scripture is just filled with verses that teach us how to deal with sin after we become Christians, and there's this understanding that not when we sin, but if we sin, there's a big difference between the two, that if we sin, these are the things that we need to do in order to pursue our Father in heaven, to pursue His grace and mercy and love, and to get back in that good relationship with God that we need to be in. If there's scripture pertaining to that sin, you can rest assured in yourself today that there are going to be people who sin, and that sin is going to affect you. Right? And I'm sure every single person in this room can raise their hand today and say, there has been someone's sin that has affected me in my life in a significant, if not dramatic, way. And we can all raise our hands because that's very true. And likewise, don't be too quick to throw the stone yet, because there is some sin that you've committed in your life that has affected and impacted other people in some way, shape, or form. And so when we talk about sin, it's very easy to just like become, have the victim mentality, the victim attitude in sin of, oh, they did this to me, this happened to me, this has affected me. And yes, I'm sure it has. Everyone in here could raise their hand. And some of you in here have experienced the scarring and the turmoil and the consequences of sin much more severely than others have. But we always have to remember that we too have sinned. We too have affected other people negatively. We too have hurt other people and changed things in their life that we can never undo. And I'm sure even right now you're probably thinking of something that you've done in your life, that at least one thing that if you could go back and change and undo that one thing, that you very much would do that. You would change it right now, because I can think of things in my own life. But today, we have to deal with sin because we live in a sinful world. We are surrounded by sinful people. We ourselves by nature are sinful people. And not only people outside in the world who sin against you, which is going to affect you negatively, it's going to impact your life, and the weight of those consequences are heavy, but there are Christian brothers and sisters around you today, and you need to understand this. The more that you are involved in church, the more that you are involved with Christian people, the more that you are submitting your life to Christ and you are surrounding yourself with the things of God, the chances of a Christian brother and sister sinning against you or committing a sin that will affect you is going to become greater and greater the more that you surround yourself with fellow believers. And the weight of the consequences of those sins are infinitely more than the consequences of people who don't claim to be a believer. Because we give them a bit of that. Well, they don't know any better. They don't claim to follow God, so we don't expect that from them. But from a Christian, we have these high expectations, and when they do sin, it hurts so much more, and it affects us so differently, and it makes us so much more bitter and anger. It just has a totally different impact on us. And I believe that our experience with sin with other believers, when another believer sins against you, it's probably the most revealing moment that we as Christians should not live lifestyles of sin. Because if another Christian sins against you, there's something about it that hurts so much worse, because you know that they should know better, right? And so if you have that high expectation of them not to sin against you, that even in our own lives, like, there should be this understanding of, as believers, we're called to be different from the rest of the world. We're not called to live a lifestyle of sin. We have to be gracious and understanding when sin happens, but that should not be a lifestyle. We are called so far away from that. And thankfully, the Bible gives us tons of passages of Scripture on what to do when sin happens, especially when sin is against us. So today, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. And we're going to read what Paul wrote to the church in Colossae. And this is a great passage, because this kind of covers like a whole like array of different stuff on this topic. And then we'll have a lot of other supporting passages of Scripture. So if you're taking notes today, write the passages of Scripture down. They'll be on the screen, but keep notes of this. So Colossians 3, verses 12 through 15, read this with me. It says, "Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Those are all difficult things to clothe ourselves with. Verse 13. "Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. I love this passage, and you could preach probably four or five different sermons from this one passage of Scripture, but we're talking about forgiveness of sin and how do we move forward when someone sins against us. And point number one from this passage that I want us to see today is that God chose you. You need to understand that today. And I don't want to burst your bubble, but I think it's really important that we understand this. This isn't a passage that affirms like predestination or anything like that. It basically is just saying that God has chosen you. You are special. You with me today? Like, you're special. God chose you. Now, you're not any more special than anyone else in the world. So don't get your, you know, don't let your head swell up too big, because He chose everyone. Jesus Christ bled and died for everyone. He made salvation possible for the entire population of humanity, that of anyone who would ever live, it is possible for them to submit themselves to Christ and receive salvation and forgiveness of their sins. He chose us as people. And that's a really important thing to remember, that as people, God chose us. And that we are special. He bled and died for you. And if you were the only one who was ever going to submit yourself to Christ and ask for forgiveness of sin, He would have still bled and died if you were the only person who would have ever gotten saved. That's how much He loves you. He loves you very much. He has chosen you. You are special to Him. And you need to remind yourself of that. And because you're special to Him, that comes with a little bit of weight. You don't just get to prance around and say, oh, I'm special. Like, I get to do what I want to do. Like, no, the specialness of it is what carries the weight upon which we as believers need to be ready and understanding that we must bear that weight in some way. And to be holy, He has chosen you. You are special. He's bled and died for you, and He's chose you to be holy. And to be holy means that we're consecrated and set apart for spiritual purposes. So this morning, you're not special because you are you. You're special because Jesus Christ bled and died for you, that He forgave you. He's preparing an eternal home for you. But also while you're living, that He has set you aside. You are special. He has chosen you, and He's pulled you out of this world to set you apart to be different from everyone else. And you now have a spiritual purpose. That's heavy. You with me today? So you don't just get to live your life like your life is no longer bound to just accomplishing your goals and your dreams and your hopes and your whatever it is that you want to do. Not that any of that stuff is necessarily sinful, but you need to understand that when you call on the name of Jesus Christ and you believe in Him and you receive that forgiveness of sin, there is now a weight that you have to bear as a believer, to know that you are set apart to be different. That you are called to a spiritual purpose to serve God, to honor Him, and to glorify Him. Okay? Now that's kind of generic. So let's talk about what we're talking about today. Point number two, since God has chosen you, now you have to choose. There's a choice now that you must make. Because so many people come to Christ, they say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. And we make that choice. But even after we make the choice to believe in Christ, you still have choices to make, and you have to choose. And when Paul is writing to this church who's obviously struggling with sin, struggling with unity, struggling with living in peace with one another, struggling with forgiving one another and sinning against one another, he writes to them and he says that you have to choose. Because you're holy, because you're set apart, because you have a spiritual purpose, you have to choose to clothe yourself. Everybody get up in the mornings? Thankfully you got up this morning. Praise the Lord. Should be thankful for that. You put on clothes this morning. I'm thankful for that. Every morning you get up, you choose to clothe yourself with whatever purpose you are going or intending to accomplish for that day. And you don't think about that a whole lot. But the way in which we clothe ourselves is pretty important. I cannot tell you how many times I've been in a situation in life where I've realized I'm not dressed for the occasion. I've been in situations where I've not been dressed nice enough. I've been underdressed. And then in that situation, when everyone else is dressed nicely and I look like a bum, and it has an effect on you. He's like, oh man, people think I'm a loser. You know, it's like I'm sitting here, I'm wearing what I'm supposed to be. I didn't get the memo. And then you feel awkward. Or sometimes you walk in and you're overdressed for something. Sometimes something happens and you're wearing, I can't tell you how many times I've ruined nice clothes because something happened and you had to do something or work on something, then you ruin whatever clothes that you're in. How many times you've been doing something and just even the shoes that you wear, I think as a guy, this is more important for a man, but the shoes that you wear for the occasion, whether it's a sporting event or work or just whatever, can just drastically impact your experience in that moment. What you clothe yourself with is important, and you have to consciously choose what you're going to wear to accomplish whatever it is that you're going out to do. And we do this every single day. And spiritually, as believers, it should be no different. You have to choose what you're going to clothe yourself with. And we're a lot more focused on the physical because we realize like everything in the world's physical. And so we have to clothe ourselves or we'll go to jail. And so like we know like there's certain expectations, like wherever you work, like there's dress codes and there's expectations. But we forget so many times that when we wake up every single morning, there's a dress code. God has a dress code for you. And it's not something that's undoable. Like it's not something that you can accomplish on your own, but as we've said so many times before, through the power of the Holy Spirit that God so freely gives us, He expects us to be clothed with these things. And you go back and you look, what are the things that you're supposed to be clothed with? Tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And those things do not come naturally. You think about that. Like those are things that does not come naturally to us. Every instinct within us doesn't want to be patient. Every instinct within us doesn't want to be gentle or humble or kind or merciful. In fact, every instinct within us, we watch the news, like, I wish somebody would punish them. I wish they'd do something about that. I can't believe they let them get away with it. Like every instinct within us calls for this hard-heartedness in so many ways for justice to be carried out and stuff to be just put a stop to it. And Christ calls us as believers, when you wake up in the morning, you have to have this understanding of you're putting on something. And you have to be very conscious of what it is that you're putting on. You have to clothe yourselves with the thing of God. And what you clothe yourself with matters. And guys, we could spend an entire sermon. We could spend 2 or 3 sermons talking about all the different things we clothe ourselves with and all the different things we just feed into our lives and into our hearts. I just really hope right now the Holy Spirit speaking to you and just kind of like revealing to you maybe just some things in your life that you need to take out of your wardrobe and get rid of, and maybe some things that you need to start incorporating into your wardrobe and preparing yourself and just being very conscious of the fact that when I wake up in the morning, when I leave this place this afternoon, I have to be willing to clothe myself with the things of Christ so that I can be ready to do the things that Christ has called me to do. Because if not, you're going to find yourself not wearing the right shoes or the right clothing for the occasion. You're not going to be prepared. But if you clothe yourself with the things of God, you'll always be prepared for whatever it is that He's going to be bringing into your life. And you're not going to find yourself be miserable and thinking of how unprepared you are, but you will find yourself being completely at peace with the situation that you're in and the confidence to know that God can carry you through whatever situation it is that you're in. Point number 3. Forgiveness is a part of the deal. And this is hard. This is probably the hardest sermon that you're going to have to listen to this year. No doubt. When you think about this whole aspect of the different things that each of you have experienced in life, what an individual or multiple people can do to you, how they can traumatize you, scar you, completely affect and change your life forever. And it can't be undone once it's done. The weight of that is excruciating and extremely difficult to bear. But as we sit here today, we would be fooling ourselves not to just be honest and admit that when we come here as believers, as Christians today, there's an intense calling on every single one of our lives to have the heart and the willingness to forgive other people who have sinned against you. And that is the most difficult thing that we will probably do as Christians, because we love Jesus. The idea of eternal life is great because it sure beats the alternative. The whole idea of coming to church and being part of a family and living in unity, all that sounds great, and we want that, and hopefully we can do that. And having people around you who support you and who love Jesus too, all that stuff sounds good. But when you start talking about things like this, like if there's someone who is deeply hurt and offended you and scarred you and done something that has literally changed your life forever, and then you hear, well, Jesus Christ expects me to forgive that person, you're just like, I don't know if I can do that. And I'm not sitting here today and saying right now in this moment, you need to forgive, you need to make that choice. That is not what I'm saying at all. What I am communicating to you is that forgiveness is part of the deal. As Jesus Christ has bled and died to forgive you of your sin, you need to understand that the same expectation is there for you to be merciful and to forgive other people's sin as well. As it says in verse 13 in our focus passage, he says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And guys, Paul's writing this because here's the deal. Every one of you who's sitting here today probably know you've already had someone sin against you in some way, and it's very difficult and you're still working through that, or you've had to work through it in the past. Or you're young and you're sitting here and maybe you have been fortunate enough at this moment in time where you haven't had anyone sin against you in some way that's going to be very difficult to deal with. But I want to warn you, because just as we read last week about the precautions that God took to have Jesus sit at the right hand of the Father and to plead on our behalf just in case if we sin, that is there. The direction of what we're supposed to do and how to deal with sin if someone sins against us is also there. You need to understand when you look around in this room, especially young people, because this will affect you a lot more than it will the older people. Hopefully the older people have some more maturity about them and they realize this already. But even if you're older and you haven't realized this yet, you look around in this room right now. You look around in the room. You take a good look at everyone in this room. There's some great people in this room. There's a reason why I've been here. But we are not perfect. Anybody want to raise their hand and claim perfection this morning? No. Nobody here this morning is perfect. If you have not been sinned against yet, chances are there will be someone someday at some point in some time who will say something to you that they shouldn't say. They might make a comment, and they may not mean anything by it. And there might be somebody in this room one day who does something against you, and they purposefully do it, and you know they did. And you need to understand that even if that happens, you need to be clothed and ready and prepared to enter into the phase of being a Christian as to being able to offer forgiveness to people who sin against you. Because chances are you're going to deal with this. The New Testament's filled with scriptures on how to deal with this and what to do. And it's a part of the deal of salvation. And you got to understand that as the New Testament was being written and as Christ is preparing himself to die, even before Jesus died on the cross, Jesus was giving instructions on how to forgive other people and the expectation that we are supposed to forgive other people. So this is not just some New Age idea, but from Old Testament, from New Testament, even before the death of Christ and after the death of Christ, forgiveness against other people's sins was always something that was being communicated throughout Scripture. And it doesn't make it any easier. This is probably the most difficult aspect of being a Christian. To know that the weight and the expectation of you forgiving others is there. And then the implications of what happens if we refuse to forgive others. Because Jesus said in Matthew 6, verses 14 through 15, He said, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's heavy. That is jaw-dropping in some sense. When you think about it this morning, because you could very much love Jesus. And you may have been one of the people last week who had something in your life and you were seeking the Lord and seeking forgiveness and trying to reconcile your relationship with God and grow again and feel that connection with God again, trying to remove that sin from your life. But maybe you didn't feel it this week. Maybe you didn't feel like anything had changed. Maybe you didn't feel like God had removed that sin from your life. And when you look at this moment right here, it could be just from the simple perspective or aspect that maybe there's something in your life that you haven't forgiven someone else for. And you're never going to be made whole until you do. That's the hard part. That's the hard part. And when you think about what it means to forgive someone, it's like, I can't forgive them. I can't forgive them for what they did. You have to remind yourself that the forgiveness is not for them. They may not care. They may not ever come to you and apologize. You might say, hey man, you know, whatever happened, I just want to let you know I forgive you. They may not care. They may laugh at you when you say that. But you have to remind yourself the forgiveness is not for them. The forgiveness is for you. The forgiveness for them is so that you can be made whole. It's not a matter of making them whole, but it's a matter of you being made whole. And you know this, because if there's somebody in this room right now and someone has done something against you and they sinned against you and you're holding that to your chest and you're not letting it go and you have not offered out forgiveness and you've not offered out reconciliation, I guarantee you, you're more miserable than the person who offended you is. You're the one suffering. You're the one laying awake at night. You're the one who's bitter and anger, and every time you think about it, it raises your blood pressure. And you're the one who still has sin in your life that's not being forgiven because you're not being willing to forgive them. That's hard teaching, but that is Scripture and that is truth. And I don't say that easily this morning because I can tell you, even from my own personal experience, there's been people who have sinned against me and done things to me, people who were believers, people who were in leadership, who knew better, who should have known better, and those are the hardest people to forgive. And Hannah can tell you, she's had to listen to me whine and cry for years over some of that stuff. But we have to be willing to forgive so that we can be made whole. It's not something that comes easily. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. He says, when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. And you may say today, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how they hurt me. You don't know how it's affected my life. And I don't. The only thing I can tell you is that when the Scriptures were being written and God was inspiring these authors to write down what He wanted us to know today, that He completely knew that there were going to be people who were going to be broken by what someone else did. He knew that you would be broken. And He knew that you would be held captive and in bondage by what this other person has done to you, because you're hanging on to it. And the only way to truly be free and the only way to truly have forgiveness for your sin and to be made whole and have the relationship with God that God wants you to have is to come to the point in your life where you're willing and able to forgive the people who sinned against you. Point number four, last one. Forgiveness will not come easy. As I said earlier, I by no means expect any of you in this room to just say, right now, I forgive him. It's done. It's over. I forget about it. It does not come easy. It has not come easy in my life and past. When I've had to deal with it, like I said, I whined and moaned and complained to Hannah for years over some of this stuff. And it took years for me to get to the point where I could move past it and forgive. It's going to take a lot of love and grace and mercy. And you're going to have to clothe yourself. You're going to have to remind yourself every day, because these are not, you know, we kind of miss this thing in our minds whenever we think about this stuff. Like we think of grace and love and mercy and tenderheartedness and all that stuff. Like that's dress clothes. Like that's church clothes. Like no, that's work clothes. Like you're going to be dressing yourself in work clothes for a significant amount of time as you work through this and process this and talk with other Christians about it. And don't do it in a way that's gossiping or slandering the person who's sinned against you. You find people that you can trust. You find people that you know that they're mature believers, and you confide in them and you ask them to pray for you, and you pray for you, and you keep on going and you continue to clothe yourself with the things of God so that you can finally get to the point where one day you are ready to offer forgiveness and move past this thing so you can move forward in your relationship with Christ. It's not going to come easy. It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of intentional seeking of the Lord on your part for you to get to the point where you're going to be willing to forgive Him. Luke chapter 17, verses 3 through 4. Jesus again says, "So watch yourselves. If another believer sins, rebuke that person." You know, it's okay to call people out if they sin against you. Rebuke them. Then if there's repentance, forgive. You know, He doesn't call us to just cower down. He doesn't call us to just take it in a sense. But in verse 4 it says, "Even if that person wrongs you seven times a day and each time returns again and asks for forgiveness, you must forgive." And you think, man, James, that's ridiculous. No person in their right mind would allow that to happen. How many times have you sinned against God since you've professed faith in Him? Just count it, if you can. And how many times have you went back to the Lord and you've asked Him to forgive you, despite you knowing Jesus bled and died for you? You know the Scriptures, you know the life that He's called you to, you know that He's called you to holiness, come out of the world and to represent Him, and you're set apart for a spiritual purpose, and you know all these things, and yet you've sinned anyway, and you still go back to Jesus and say, "Jesus, please forgive me." You know, like, I love you, I don't know why I'm doing this, I don't know why I'm struggling with sin, but please forgive me. And there's no doubt in my mind that Jesus Christ expects us to offer forgiveness out without limiting it to anyone, to offer forgiveness over and over and over again, because He wants us to understand maybe how frustrating it is for Him to deal with forgiving us so many times. You know, you look at Scripture and it indicates that the chances of us being sinned against are pretty high. The chances of you having to deal with something of what someone else has done against you are pretty high this morning. And we have to be prepared to deal with it. Another struggle with forgiveness and it not coming easy is that you just won't forget it. You know, as people, we tend to remember the negative things much better than we remember the positive things. If there's ever been anything done against you, chances are you're going to remember it until the day that you die. So don't expect this morning for you to cry out to the Lord and say, "Lord, help me to forgive and forget. Help me to forget this person. Help me to move past this." And God's going to wave His magic wand, and all of a sudden you're going to forget everything that's happened, and now you and the person who sinned against you are bosom buddies for the rest of your life. that's probably not going to happen. But I want to challenge you today that it's not a matter of forgetting. In fact, when you think about it, one of the greatest aspects of being a Christian and giving testimony to the God that we serve is being able to remember the sin that He's forgiven us from. To know that we are wretched and dirty and sinful and are so undeserving of God, and yet in His grace and love and mercy, He welcomes us in and He uses us to do His works anyway, is a wonderful testimony of the God that we serve. One of the greatest testimonies that you're going to be able to have as a believer, and you're going to be able to not necessarily talk about, but you will show this through example as you forgive others who sin against you, is the fact that God can help you to forgive this person. And that's going to speak tremendously to other people who are in the same boat as you and knowing that they need to forgive other people and not necessarily feeling like it's possible because they don't know how that's going to happen in this moment that they're in right now. But when they see that forgiveness carried out and they hear testimonies of it and they can see it with their own eyes, it will change it for the people who just can't see it right now in their own hearts and minds. It gives us proof that it's possible. And there's people in this room today that it's not even just a matter for you to be made whole, but even forgiving the person who sinned against you is going to be a great witness and testimony to other believers who need to see that it's possible for God to work and move and help you get to that point in your life. Forgiveness will most certainly be one of the most difficult things that we will ever be called to do as a Christian. And how appropriate is it for us to experience the difficulty so that we can understand why we shouldn't take the forgiveness of Christ for granted? You know, it's like, it's an extremely hard calling, but it's an extremely comforting passage of Scripture to know that as long as we come to Christ and we say, Jesus, forgive me, heal me, make me whole, that He will do that. That's comforting. That's good news. But at the same time, even if someone sins against you 7 times a day or 7 times 77 or whichever passage you want to refer to, that you're still expected to offer forgiveness. That's not easy. It doesn't come natural, and we need the help of God in order to do that. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 8 says, "The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sin." And so this morning, maybe it's not even a matter of help me forgive this person, because sometimes I don't even think we know what forgiveness should look like. Like, what happens when I forgive this person? What kind of relationship are we supposed to have? What kind of engagement am I supposed to have with this person after that? Don't think about that. We just have to be willing to say, God, I love you. And I'm having a really hard time with that person over there. And I know that you call me to love them. And I know that you call me to forgive them. But Jesus, I need you to teach me and show me what that looks like. Not what the pastor says, not what the world says, but what your word says and what you want me to do in this specific situation. Because every situation is very specific. Every situation is very different. And in your situation, with the person who sinned against you, for you say, God, help me to love that person because love covers a multitude of sin. Help me to be willing to forgive them. Doesn't mean you have to be best friends with them. Doesn't mean you have to hang out with them. But just cry out to God and say, God, help me to do this the way that you want me to. And you might be surprised that the willingness of you just saying, God, show me, God, help me, God, give me the ability to do this, exactly what God will do. I think we would all be surprised, because I think it's safe to say that when someone sins against us, we're not particularly quick to let go and let God work and move. So this morning, Miss Margie's going to play. And I just want to open up the altar for you guys. You know, this is one of those times, again, it's like you can't have forgiveness of your sin if you don't forgive others. And you can't be made whole if you don't forgive others. And the love that you need to have for these people is not something that you can muster up and do on your own. This is something that you need help from God for. So this morning, if that's you, if you feel like God needs to work and move in your life and help you with something along these lines, I invite you to come and spend some time in prayer before we dismiss. Father, we just want to say thank you for the opportunity that we get to come and to worship and sing your praises. Father, I pray that you would work and move in our hearts. Lord, for anything that may be there that needs to be dealt with, God, that you are more than able to work and move if we will simply humble ourselves and let you do it. Lord, we love you and thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today. As we get ready to have conference, we ask that you would guide us with your Spirit. Lord, we pray that your will would be done and that we would be pleasing and honoring to you. We ask that you would bless the food, may it nourish our bodies, and help us to seek your face and to serve you in every action, in every word, every deed of our life. We love you, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you're dismissed,